This is News at Notes. I'm Tony Cox in for Farad today. And now on to our bloggers roundtable. A fundamentalist Christian university apologizes for its racist past. Should the apology be accepted? And a young black man commits suicide during a live streaming webcast. Should viewers have done more to stop the death? And what does this say about the cyber community? To deconstruct the latest headlines in the blogosphere, we are joined now by writer Amani Channel, who blogs at My Urban Report, media consultant Carmen Dixon. She writes the blog All About Race and also blogs for AOL Black Voices, and Michael Fontroy, assistant professor of public policy at George Mason University. He blogs at michaelfontroy.com. Welcome, everybody.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, let's start with this. Bob Jones apology. Carmen, I see you smiling because you're right here in the studio with me. Bob Jones University apologizing for its past racist policies. The private fundamentalist Christian school did not allow interracial dating until 2000 and banned black students from attending until 1971. The statement that they posted on the web says, quote, "We fail to accurately represent the Lord and to fulfill the commandment to love others as ourselves," end quote. So, Carmen, why this epiphany now for Bob Jones?
Well, a couple of things. I think the epiphany is probably they are, again, looking at culture and cultural signals and realizing that they're out of step with the way the country's moving. And particularly, I don't know the specifics of their recruiting efforts, but I can imagine that they would want to recruit as diverse a possible school body, as diverse a school body as possible. And they even mentioned on their website that they were getting constant questions about their race policies.
But they had to know they were out of step in 1999, 1995, 1992.
But it may not have hit the bottom line. But all that said, I just want to say I think it's great. I think it's a great step in the right direction. I particularly appreciate that they use scripture to back up their apology. They use scripture to enforce the idea that we are all God's creatures, and that they were wrong.
And you like that?
I like that very much.
Amani, what do you say?
Well, I guess the school administration missed the memo that the Supreme Court struck down any bans on interracial marriage back in 1967. So it seems that they were very backwards in their thinking until, 2000. This probably is a public relations effort to, as was just mentioned, get folks to I guess, forgive the school and then also to understand that they're moving forward. They're trying to move forward and that they're not stuck in their past. I think it's a good move, though. Anytime you admit your mistakes and try to reconcile is a good thing.
Okay, somebody answer that phone. Okay, good.
My bad.
Okay. We're going to do a segment about telephones because it always happens.
Always.
Michael, what are you – was that your phone, Michael?
No, it wasn't.
Oh, good. Okay. Well, so let's have you chime in.
I just want that to be known.
Okay, you're off the hook about
Thank
that.
Thank you.
What's your take on this?
Well, I have to tell you, I think that this statement and the policy or rather the acknowledgement of the school's history reflects the reality that the arc of history is turning away from some of the ridiculous race-based rules and mores that this country has held dear for so long. It should be noted that the person in charge now is Stephen Jones. And I think he lived through and grew up through some of these controversies going back 30-some-odd years. And I think he wants to take the school in a less controversial direction. And so I think we have that to thank for the statement. That is to say, Stephen Jones's evolution as an individual, I suspect. And then also, there is a reality that the country is changing demographically. You know, the Census Bureau has projected that by 2042, the United States will no longer be a majority white institution. So if Bob Jones University wants to remain viable in terms of recruiting Christian conservative students, then it's going to have to look outside of students that look like the history of those who've gone to the institution.
And I suppose if they look toward the White House, they will see that the President of the United States comes from a biracial relationship. All right, let's move on to another topic. Black stereotypes, as a matter of fact, the first African-American, as we have just indicated, heading to the White House. Some are saying that with Barack Obama in the White House, it is beginning to chip away at black male stereotypes. Writer Ta-Nehisi Coates wrote recently in an essay for the Time magazine that the most famous black man in America, here's his quote, isn't clutching a microphone or dribbling a ball. He has no prison record, and he has not built a career on four-letter words, end quote. Now, here's a clip I want to play for you. We'll get your reaction afterwards. Cal Reary is the name of the person. He is a black high school teacher, and he talked about how he felt he might be seen differently these days post-Obama.
Maybe I'm imagining it. But I feel like now sometimes when I'm on my way to work, the people who I pass mostly in my car are white. And sometimes I wonder, what are they thinking when they see me? Do they think that I'm pulling out in front of their car because now I think that I can get away with it? Or are they realizing I'm just a jerk when I drive? I'm hoping that I'm not adding to any anxiety they might be feeling since where I live basically voted for McCain.
So, Michael, are people looking at you differently now?
No. I have to tell you, Tony, I'm fearful that people are reading far too much into this election. You know, the stereotypes that have been attached to me by others and other people who look like me cannot be undone. And because of one election, they took years and decades and centuries to establish. And I just don't think that the election of one person can change that. Now, certainly we're moving in a different direction, but we're also in that afterglow of the election. And, you know, if the economy continues to get worse and we see stories as we get deeper into the holiday season of more people getting robbed for Christmas gifts, then maybe those changes that we profess to be hearing from people like we just heard on that clip won't really be the changes we're hearing.
What do you say, Imani?
Well, I think that Obama has done a great thing for folks who are looking for a role model in terms of academic success, political success. In terms of stereotypes, you know, there's no one person who's going to eliminate the years and years of you know, race-based assumptions that people make just because of your color, just because you look a certain way. But for those who may be looking for, you know, we haven't had a leader like Martin Luther King until probably Obama. So for those who are looking for a positive role model, I'd say, yeah, Obama is probably going to help out in that means. You know, for myself, my father always raised me to do your best in school and everything you do. And so if other people ascribe to that philosophy, I think that everyone will have a positive role model, not just black males, but everyone.
Well, you know, I'm going to ask Carmen to talk about this in just a second, but let me just say something that I have observed. Going back a decade when the O.J. Simpson verdict came in, I was going into a restaurant, and the anger that white people had towards me as a black male that day was palpable. Now, since Obama has won, I've had people come up to me in the hallway, Obama, Obama, Obama. White people are just, they're talking in ways that they were not doing before the election. So let's take a break first, Carmen. I'm going to come back. You're not a male, but I'd like to get your perspective on this, whether there's really anything to it. We're going to take a quick break, and then we'll continue with the Bloggers Roundtable in just a moment. I'm Tony Cox, and this is News and Notes. We're back with our Bloggers Roundtable with writer Imani Channel, who blogs at My Urban Report, Michael Fontroy blogs at michaelfontroy.com, and Carmen Dixon blogs at All About Race. So, Carmen, what are you thinking? What are you feeling? Are you having a sense of an easing of the stereotype by people who see you now that Barack Obama's headed to the White House?
I don't know if it's an easing of the stereotype, but there's two things I'm noticing profoundly. The first one is I certainly have had more neighbors smile and say hi to me since the election. That is, it's completely true. It's quantifiable. It's completely true. And I, in turn, say hello back. There is an easiness, at least in my neighborhood, which is a very liberal, you know, West Side neighborhood in Los Angeles. But the other thing that I'm noticing, and it was really encapsulated in a report that Michelle Norris actually did, a man on the street interview of black men. And they were saying, to the person, they were saying, We got to do better. He's an inspiration to us. We can show our teenage boys that they can do anything if they set their mind to it. We got to stop sagging with the jeans. And I thought that was fascinating. I've actually seen that. I can't cite the blogs, but I've actually seen blog posts similar. So I would say about the stereotype, of course, one even great achievement can't obliterate all the stereotypes. But I do think it expands the perception not only that the majority culture has about black people, but that we have about ourselves.
Interesting. We'll have to keep our eye on that. We have another topic that's not a very positive one to talk about, but it's an important one, and it's this. A very sad and disturbing story out of Florida. A 19-year-old Broward College student had posted thousands of messages online. Some were about his depression and feelings of suicide. And then last week, Abraham Biggs posted a suicide note along with a list of the drug cocktail he planned to use to kill himself. The young African-American took the pills in front of a live webcam, laid down on his bed, and stopped breathing. It is estimated that around 200 people watched this young man kill himself, many of them egging him on. Amani, what does this say? Does it show a possible troubling future for the way people are interacting online?
Well, it shows a troubling trend, at least with this one community where he called the folks his family. He said they had become like a family to me. So, I mean, if you're going to think that about any online community, if I were to post a note that said I'm thinking negative thoughts about, you know, ending my life, I would hope that, you know, the folks don't encourage me to take that step. Of course, our thoughts have to go out to Mr. Biggs' family. But it also speaks to the something that isn't often discussed, and that's just the black suicide rates among young males. I was reading one statistic that said that black males are 7 times as likely to commit suicide compared to black women, and that it's the third leading cause of death among young black men. So, you know, this will bring some attention to this troubling problem. But in terms of the online community that egged him on, I mean, just shame on all those folks who didn't. I mean, I think that someone finally called the authorities after he had passed out. It took hours for him to finally pass. Shame on all those folks who didn't try to do something to help him out during his ordeal.
When I read this, I wondered, Michael, you know, how I might have reacted. And I'm assuming that I probably would have first thought that it was a hoax of some kind or somebody just doing something maybe to get their attention. But if I felt that it was serious, I wondered what I would do. What would you do? What would you have done if you had seen this, if you had been online at the time of this?
Well, let me just say first that the Internet is a microcosm of the larger world. And I think that's important to know because there are, you know, these kinds of communities have always existed in the pre-Internet era. Some of them are famously known as Jonestown, Guyana, among other kinds of circumstances. Now, in terms of what I would have done, you know, I think I would have done what I would do if I saw somebody try to do this on the street, and that is to try to stop them. You know, mm-hmm. It just seems to me that's, you know, that's the humane thing to do, to try to assist someone that is in need. But there's another part to this too, though, Tony, and that is, it's quite likely that certain kinds of folks are attracted to certain kinds of message boards, and that those of us who are interested in trying to help others in need may not necessarily find ourselves on a message board like this.
It's an interesting point, Carmen. Is there any responsibility that the people who control these sites have in a situation like this, do you think?
Only as far as one human being to another. I don't know what you mean quite by control the sites, but if I'm the administrator and I have a social network that people and that I'm not monitoring 24/7, then there are adults on the site. I allow them to interact as they will, as long as they don't do anything illegal, like, you know, share child porn or something like that. Mm-hmm. I would just think if I had been alerted or if I had been watching, at least I would have reached out to the young man and offered him comfort and not egged him on. But I really don't know the specifics enough
of that particular case. Well, let's not end the day before Thanksgiving on such a sober note. Let's talk about how the blog is being used in more positive ways. Is there something that you can think of, either of you, that is uplifting with regard to how people are interacting during this holiday time? I see Carmen's looking around trying to think.
I've seen a lot of folks doing like fundraisers. Like there's some Twitter page that's doing fundraisers. There's a local pastor here. His name is Sean King. He's starting a church called Courageous, and he's raising school uniforms for for a school that's in need here in Atlanta. So I think that there's a lot of goodwill that's being fostered via the internet and via the online community, folks who blog and folks who really show that they care about their fellow man, especially when we're looking at the economy. You know, more folks are going hungry this Thanksgiving. I think folks are thinking about their neighbor during this time of the year.
And I would add quickly, you know, in addition to everything that Imani just said, you know, the internet is a great place to do professional networking. And there are a lot of people who are losing their jobs right now. And we can communicate and transfer information from one to another to help people out who might be in need.
That's an interesting point. Carmen?
I just wanted to say that the idea that each of us as bloggers have a community that grows, that we sort of find ourselves in the middle of, which is the good news. And we have the ability to raise awareness of things that we see. And our community has the ability to send us emails and say, listen, would you post about this, to spread the word. So awareness comes before action, I think. Mm-hmm. So that's how, you know, at least at my spot, it's all about race. I get to call attention and call action to issues and charities and all sorts of things that we need to move on.
Really quickly, do you think that activity in terms of blogging, Carmen, is going to increase, decrease on the actual Thanksgiving day tomorrow? Is it going to be busier or will everyone be eating and nobody's going to be blogging?
I think it's going to decrease. That's my hunch. Decrease on Thanksgiving.
Okay.
We go offline to eat.
Yeah, it's already probably decreased for me. So this is a week where I kind of take a pause, think about all the things I have to be thankful for, including my little son, Devin, who was born 3 weeks ago.
Oh, that's what we heard about that. So congratulations.
Congratulations.
Listen, thank you so much. We have been talking with writer Imani Channel, who blogs at My Urban Report, the new dad. He was at Georgia Public Broadcasting in Atlanta. Michael Fontroy, assistant professor of public policy at George Mason University. He blogs at michaelfontroy.com and was at our headquarters in Washington, D.C. And media consultant Carmen Dixon, who writes the blog All About Race. She also blogs for AOL Black Voices. Once again, happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
And happy Thanksgiving to you.